So what is a challenging environment? Well, in your diagnosis, you just need to observe and listen. A challenging environment is, I would say, understood from two points of view. Of course, it would be a challenging environment concerning the fact that you are a minority. When I say minority, it could be from a diverse point of view. If you are a non-Li nationality, for example, with a heavy accent compared to the others that are native. And it could be if you are the only woman or the only man. It could be also regarding, I would say, seniority. If you are the only senior towards very young people, on the contrary, if you are the only young person towards senior people. So the challenging is, as I said, two point of view. So the first is coming from the fact that you are in the minority. But the second could come also regarding, I would say, the general mood, the general ambience of environment. And this comes from rumors and the fact that people are more interested about what is said about the people than the work itself. And you can have a clue inside of the meetings. Usually, if the meeting always begin with half an hour late, and if people like to talk about one person in particular, if you feel there is what we are calling the scapegoating willingness, so always trying to put something over the burden of one person in particular, one department, so that will be a challenging environment. And of course, you have something that would be a scapegoating thing that would be, of course, harassment, whether it's moral harassment, sexual harassment, so comments or even jokes that could be said because humor has to be seized regarding if everybody is laughing about something or if everybody is laughing about someone. So all those are elements that you need to diagnose when you're coming in order to work in a very healthy, collaborative environment. What you need also to be aware of inside of the discussions is the biases. So how do you recognize biases? I would give you five biases that are the most common, but of course, there are many more. Five more common biases are the bias of confirmation, the bias of generalization, and the negative bias, and I would say the bias of Dunning-Kruger effect, that is also very interesting, and bias that will deal with, again, trying to work on putting the responsibility towards one person, one department. So let's begin with the bias of generalization. Bias of generalization is usually made when people are talking and whining, complaining, but about something in general. So it's not something specific. So I'm going to give you a specific example. So let's say that there is one person who made a mistake in the accounting department. And in the discussion, you will hear, oh, come on, accounting is always do that. They're always wrong. They are always doing mistake. This little word always is a very good signal that, in fact, we are in generalization bias. It could be even more tacky when it comes to a generalization that deal with nationality specifically or even gender. Let's say that you are a young person and you arrive 10 minutes late to a meeting. And let's say that inside of the meeting, you have mostly senior people. You can hear, oh, well, you young person, you always all come late because you think it's fashion trendy, you know, because you want to be seen as an entrepreneur, you know, who don't care about anything. So this is a generalization bias. So basically, it's I'm using one specific example and I'm trying to apply it to an entire side of a population, an entire department. Okay, so that's what we are calling a generalization bias. Again, just try to be attentive to the type of word that are used, such as always, that are usually signals of generalization. The second bias that you can also hear a lot when it comes to business environment is the confirmation bias. This is a little bit more difficult because it really work on trying to find sources that will come to reaffirm what has been demonstrated earlier. I'm going to give you an example. If you want to hear things that are good about, let's say, Donald Trump, you need to listen to a specific channel, American Fox News, okay, that will deliver good things about Donald Trump. Well, the confirmation bias is exactly the same. Confirmation bias is when people only try to find sources that are contributing to reinforce their positions into something. So in the business area, for example, let's say that you have heard this conversation. So let's say that Stephanie is talking to Joan. Okay, so Stephanie is telling Joan, have you heard that now they're going to cut the bonuses? We are really in deep problem because they don't want to give us bonuses anymore. And so John will say, okay, so who told you? Oh, you know, the person who told me is someone who is really interested into the bonuses and who is really afraid about not getting bonuses. This is Emily, who had recently a problem with the bonus, and she said that her case will become something that will be enlarged. So see, the fact that the source is not coming from human resources, for example, is the proof that the bias will be a confirmation bias. So basically, the person is creating an environment that will be based on fear. The third bias that is also very interesting is the negativity, the bias of negativity. So it's when the person cannot see reality without putting a filter of negativity. Someone who will tell you, I don't think, you know, this client will be loyal to us. Even if a contract has been signed, he would say, no, last time he spoke to me, he didn't have a good voice. I really feel that he's going to go in one of our competitors. So see, the fact that the client signed the contract is a mark, you know, objective, that there is a loyalty, but the person will not recognize it because they have the filter of negativity. And this is something very interesting because it depends, of course, of where the company is, whether it's situated in America or in France, because, you know, some people have filter of negativity that will be higher than others. I would like to also mention the Dunning-Kruger effect, that is a bias of overconfidence, overtrust. Very interesting. This bias is very frequent, especially thanks to internet. You know, for example, after COVID, you know, the scientific people, the doctors admit that they didn't know how to cure the COVID bacteria. But you had people who just look at 2, 3, or 4 videos and they would say, I know everything. It all comes from the pangolin. This is what I... So the fact that they got some information made them so confident that they believe that they know. So the curve of the Dunning-Kruger effect is basically at the beginning, I don't know anything. Then I get some information about it and I really believe I have the illusion of knowing. But it's only after that I realize that it's more complex. I'm going to give you an example. Someone who will say to another, you know, I have a problem with my back. It aches a lot. And the other will answer, would you like me to do a little chiropractic? Or, and, oh, I didn't know. The other will answer, I didn't know that you were a chiropractor or that you had some studies in chiropractic. And the person would say, oh, no, no, I was just looking at, this influencer on the net, and I know exactly how to crack the back in terms of vertebra. So let me do some things with your back. You will see everything we're going to find. So this is the Dunning-Kruger effect. And in meetings, sometimes it could be a disaster, especially when people will ask you, do you invest in this or not? Depending on the level of the person, to know that it's more complex. You will have people defending their rights, sometimes even too loud, because they are under the Dunning-Kruger effect. And one of the last bias that we'll see today, it's the bias of regarding gender. When people think that because of this gender, or because of the fact that the person is belonging to one nationality, this is their fault. So I would say it's a little bit like the generalization bias that we saw, but it's a little more specific. So all you women, you all will do this. So all you French people are always eating croissant in the morning, of course. So it's really based on a very short knowledge about the people that we want to apply and force them to be getting into a stereotype. So how to get away of this type of biases, and especially when you have to answer, while having a bias of generalization or a bias of discrimination. Again, the first thing is always diagnosis. So you really need to realize what's going on. And the second phase will be trying to understand, do I have to do it on the spot, or do I have to do it on one-on-one with the person? If, for example, you have a remark that could be something that puts you down in public, then this will be a way for you to find within yourself the art of responding quickly. To respond quickly, usually the humor will be best. Humor doesn't mean irony, so it doesn't have for you to be humiliating the person. Humor shows that you understood what's going on, but that you want to let the other know that you are not playing this game. Okay? So I'm going to give you an example. In an assembly of men, there was one woman who was part of the executive committee. She arrived in, she has been nominated lately, so she arrived in the room, and one of the member of the committee, a man, is looking at her and say, oh, could you bring me a coffee, please? Thinking that, of course, the girl was here only to serve people coffee. So the way she answered, I thought, was brilliant. She left to do a coffee. She took the coffee in front of him. And when she came close to him, she drank the coffee and say, it's a very good coffee. I strongly advise you to do it for yourself. And this helped her to be respected inside of the executive committee. That was brilliant because it was not aggressive. It was humorous. And it was done physically and public speakingly speaking, extremely confident. And so it basically gave her credit even more about the fact that she was nominated. It gave her the capacity to be accepted, because this is the goal. The goal is not to do ping pong with the person who just, targeted you. The goal is really, how can I be better included into the team, into the group, in order for me to develop collaborative intelligence, collective intelligence. So again, for me, in order to be better included and to get away from any type of discriminative remarks, the capacity you may have to use humor to show that you're not pretending to be offended, how dare you? So you're not willing to get to the aggressive side, but that on the contrary, you want to get to a cohesive style. You want to go to do a collaborative style. So you want to include the other person to make the person understand that you're part and you're legitimate to be part of this group. So, of course, I gave you an example about gender, but We are not here to talk about an opposition between men and women. On the contrary, today, companies are making efforts in order to get women empowerment. And I will go even further by letting you know that sometimes discussion among women are not easy either. There is the phenomenon of the queen bees. The queen bees is this woman who is on top of the pyramid, but who is very afraid to have a rival, to have a competitor coming as a woman. So she's going to really systematically put other women down in order to be sure to always be the only one to reign. When it comes to toxic relationship among women, what we need to understand is you will be respected if you are, especially as a woman, whether you're in front of men or women, if you are viewed not hysterical. And what is hysterical is a woman who lose temper, a woman who begins to shout, a woman who be aggressive, angry. Again, I remind women that the word hysteria is coming from uterus. So basically a woman who will be aggressive, either in front of women or in front of men, will immediately be viewed as woman who has periods, cycle problems. So in order to get away from this toxicity, always try to understand how can I get down. More than get high is how can I get down. And get down is mean calming the tone, trying to understand not to get on an individual level, but always professional level. Try to understand to never mention identity words inside of sentences, like you're too bad, you're such a person of not worth. So the you are, each time you're using the auxiliary to be, for example, you're judging the identity of the other. This is something that is not possible. You always need, when you're doing feedback, even if it's a negative feedback, to be on the do and not on the being. This is what is not acceptable in terms of task, in terms of work, but never how can you do this? You're good for nothing. So never on the being, but always on the do. By trying to come down, you will be in a better, noble position in order to be taken seriously. Again, otherwise, you're going to be getting into a too intrusive style and people will just be very afraid even to trust yourself. Sometimes women, especially women who get higher and higher in the pyramid, in the social ladder, thinks that they are respected because they are creating fear. And it's unfortunately not the case. The more you create fear, the more you create mistrust, and the more you create enemies. So again, the recommendation I could say, whether working in toxic environments among women or men women or among men, is really trying to be respected by finding inside of yourself the place of explaining things slowly, calmly, explaining things over the do and never on the being, in order for the other to feel respected. You will see that the respect that you get through active listening is something very precious and will allow the simple fact of creating a good environment. And a good environment is not an environment where we all agree. A good environment of work is where we agree to disagree. This is something important to remember. In terms of men environment, I would say that the hardest is sometimes to be viewed as someone who wants the work to go on compared to others who wants to still talking about, sports or about things that are not related to work. So it's very difficult because sometimes among men, you have men who are really here to work and to think about the profit and the efficiency, whether others feel a little bit less concerned. And you don't want to be badly viewed because you're the person who is too serious. So that's why I would say I strongly recommend, in order to get a good environment of work, if you are this person who is really the one who is viewed as too serious compared to the others, to get patient and try to have moments inside of the communication of the small talk. Small talk is really key for a good environment. Some people are very bad in small talks. They hate that, you know, talking about the weather, talking about the sports, talking about... But this is necessary because thanks to small talk, people are in fact testing each other to understand the level of energy of everybody, trying to understand where the people are at. And what we're saying a lot is that coming before a meeting, like having a breakfast or just for lunch, you will realize that this is where the big decisions are taken, more than inside of the meeting where everything is, I would say, played already. So this is very important, and trying to understand those rules, especially when you're getting into a man environment, trying to understand that the politics of the decisions that are taken are way more, I would say, backstage than on stage. And you will better understand why some decisions are taken, even if they are not making sense, I would say, collectively speaking. So in conclusion, I would say that inclusive leadership is a leadership that will take in account the level of toxicity of the environment. An environment that will simply be into a followership blindly is something extremely dangerous. So I would say that if you have followers who always say yes, who are always following you, it means that there is a problem. That's why I'm saying that the level of toxicity is interesting. You need to have a little bit of resistance in terms of inclusivity in order for people to also feel that they are contributing to your leadership. Because inclusive leadership becomes inclusive only when it's a collaborative leadership. And what is collaboration? It's co-elaboration. It means that you allow the followers to be leaders sometimes in order for them to really feel that they are part of the machine. Again, going through biases, trying to understand what is my main bias in my company is very interesting. Trying to also understand is there is humor, especially when you have bad jokes or when you have people who are targeting, even unconsciously, one on another, will be very important for people to feel included. Be very careful, of course, in your humor to include everybody when you're laughing and not exclude anybody. Another thing in order to get inclusive leadership is trying to understand that small talk are important. So do not hesitate to come up, you know, to some offices and begin to talk to people in order for people to feel that they are an interest of yours. You know, leadership is also something that I would say touch affect. So people need to feel that they are in your circle. There is nothing more exclusive in terms of leadership than if you have elites that could be executive committee and the rest. When you're using, for example, in your public speaking, when you're using the us is me plus the team. It's never us, executive members, compared to you, the team. On the contrary, the notion of an inclusive leadership goes through conscious word that you're using in order for us to feel unity when you are talking about the notion of we. This is extremely important.